Do you ever eat so much food that you think having sex afterwards it becomes impressive?
So you throw in the brain destroyer.
You're sitting there like a fucking baboon! I hate fucking with you, sir. I couldn't stop at fucking 3 or 4 a.m., right? Wow!
And I'm a man who loves to play with boys.
Money blow, money blow.
Oh, yeah, the clown. The only one of you buffoons who doesn't make me laugh. And as for you, I don't know you, but I'm sure you're a jerk.
No, I tend to avoid. I kind of go more from like a pregame angle with it. You know, as far as like making sure I carb up properly. Don't have too many, you know, nothing too heavy that's going to like weigh me down.
Mm-hmm.
And also definitely not eating like right before game time. That's what's always weird about sex, like on dates. Like if you're going out in the evening and then at 35 years old, I'm not performing at 10:30 p.m. after a night of drinking and eating or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
That's certainly something that's changed in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years compared to when I was younger.
Just sometimes we go get Panda Express and I'm getting the biggest thing of MSG they have.
Yeah.
And then I announce, tonight will not be happening. And then I go do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've had, you know, I think the thing everyone learns at a young age is like, you know, you have to be conscious of like what you're eating on a date. Like don't have a bunch of onions or anything else that's like really stinky.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people tell you to slam pineapple.
I'm still a pineapple enjoyer. You mm-hmm. know, I only had to taste my own semen once to know that like, oh, I need to make this as palatable as possible.
Yeah. Anyway,
have you ever tasted your own cum?
No.
Why? Wait, hold on. You never got curious? You never were in the shower?
No.
Fucking coward, dude. You know what? That's homophobic.
No, I think you're a narcissist. The only cum you've had is your own. If you were really curious, you would suck down another man.
Yeah, you're right. I don't eat pussy and I only taste my own cum.
Yeah.
I feel like I've had this conversation with my brother, and I feel like he also was in the. You know, we'll pull the audience. I'll put a poll up on the Instagram page and see.
Be the first post on our Blue Sky.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna get over on Blue Sky because.
Fellas, is it not gay to eat your own cum?
I mean, I think it's the kind of thing. Personally, truthfully, if you are asking your partner to swallow, you know. Which I saw a good meme this week, which, you know, cleanliness is godliness.
Yeah.
So that's why I swallow. The idea of, yeah, asking your partner to do something that you wouldn't be willing to do yourself, I feel like is a little fucked up.
No, you know? I agree there.
Like, if you're trying to stick your dick in a butt, you should be definitely being willing to get pegged. You know what I mean? If your partner wants to explore that, if you're...
Well, yeah, if that's something that they have interest in, sure.
Yeah.
Then yeah. But if that's not something, I'm not going to bring it up for them. Like, hey, now that I've had sex with you, why don't you have sex on me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
I guess, yes. Yeah. I mean, of course, all things being equal, everybody would be enjoying every activity, right? But I think, honestly, I think if we're being honest and if we're in a longer term relationship with someone, sometimes you perform for your partner in one way or another, right? Not necessarily to the extent of, oh, I'm going to, you know, do backflips and get my throat fucked. Mm-hmm. But I do want to make sure that you are having a good time. And sometimes that requires me to do something I'm not necessarily into.
Yeah. And I practice what I preach. Like, as you can see by my legs, I'm not a body hair person.
Yes.
I don't. That's not a requirement when I go into
a partner. You're a very smooth man.
But I like smoothness.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Are you... So you like it, you're not a bush guy.
No.
Yeah. I think...
I wasn't in 2000, I'm not now.
Forget it, you're a has-been.
I have, at times been... I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten more okay with hair. I think the culture has also shifted.
Yeah.
I also keep myself relatively trim down there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm coming from with it. But the idea of being... you know, scared of any hair down there, I think is like some pussy ass shit.
Yeah.
Like if you're just hooking up with someone and they got a full bush.
Yeah.
Fucking deal with it. Grow up. Like,
yeah. Be honored that you're in the space right now.
Be real and like get off on the pheromones. Cause like that's what's all going on down there. Right. Like yeah. Someone's got like a full bush. Like you're going to get all that sweat and stuff. But did you ever see the movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yeah.
So my new game is, you know how I know you're autistic?
Yeah.
Why are you shaking your head? You know how I know you're autistic? Because one of the things you wanted to bring up as a subject was, what kind of music do you listen to?
Okay, here's my thing. This is the only person I've ever met, Steven right here, who doesn't give a fuck about music. And that... I can't not understand
true.
That.
Not no, true.
Is true. Is true.
I just don't like have like a thing where it's like, oh, I listen, I like hyperfixate on the classics of the 60s and 70s or whatever. I think part of that though is just the house I grew up in. I grew up in a very music ignorant home, okay? So maybe you need to check your music privilege.
I mean, yeah, music was a big thing in my house because we're human beings. I don't know what the fuck happens in Idaho.
We just listen to top 40 country and
okay. Yeah. Well, I guess if that was like your experience of driving in a car,
yeah,
sure, maybe that turns you off music in general.
Dude, Grandma Tinker, I mean, you know, she didn't have too many faults, but she like I had a lot of great times riding in the back of her Oldsmobile and just having, you know, whatever old country. She always listened to the country classic station, which was just top 40 from a decade prior. God, yeah. So, but that's all I ever heard growing up. There was no, you know, classic rock. Like,
so you have trauma.
I got into dad rock as a 20-year-old, uh-huh. Not because my dad listened to it, you know?
Yeah. So you have this trauma, mm-hmm. of only being exposed to horrible music, and now yeah. Your takeaway is anyone who likes music is autistic.
No.
Yes.
Just the prompt of we're gonna talk about music.
Well, people ask me, what does Steven like musically? And like, I don't know. I've had two people ask me that.
Is it because I don't have tattoos? I'm not punk enough? Like, I clearly listen to punk music.
From your political stance, people can draw from that, but it's not like you're blasting it anywhere.
That's true.
Like, the only thing you listen to is that girl who's lo-fi beats to study to.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's like my, that's how I know I'm autistic. It's like, that's the only way that I can, like, if I have music with any lyrics or anything, or like, that has any real emotion behind it, besides just vibes, mm-hmm. I have to like go on that wavelength. So like, and I don't think this is like a unique take or anything, but music doesn't dictate my mood as much as the music I listen to is dictated by my mood. So if I'm in an angry, aggressive mood, I'm listening to harder stuff.
Sure.
But I can't listen to metal and like shit that's screaming about like lighting up the local bank or something.
Yeah.
Unless I'm actively moving my body. Like if I'm sitting at my computer listening to that type of shit, it's not going to be good, you know?
Well, for me,
the energy has to go somewhere. It's usually when I'm like weightlifting or something.
I need like the shuffle for genres at all times because mm-hmm. there was like 3 days where I had on my Spotify, like somehow with my thumb hit like, classic rock only. And it was just like Zeppelin, Stones and that kind of shit for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. And I was losing my mind. I'm like, what is happening with my Spotify algorithm? And then I look at it at my shuffle list and it's like, oh, it's not on all. It's just on, you know, classic rock. I'm mm-hmm. like, Jesus, that's why.
Have your classic rock station started incorporating like the Blink-182s and the Green Days and stuff like that yet? Or does it stay pretty solid with like 70s and 80s, like older decades?
I think it pretty much stays with 70s and 80s, but I listen to that just because I have everything on.
Yeah. I listen to, on election night, I listen to The Who's, the fuck is the one where they're like on like a side of a hill?
Bob O'Reilly?
Yeah. Is that the name of the album?
I think the name of the album is Who's Next.
Who's Next, that's it. Yeah, I listened to that whole one just because the We Won't Get Fooled Again!
Yeah.
It's like my shit. Yeah. Yeah. I love, as a filthy commie bitch, I love having been radicalized in recent years, going back and listening to old music and being like, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just quickly, One of my favorite bands is this band Rise Against.
Okay.
Which I first got into because they had a song called Savior.
Yeah.
Which is just a breakup song. And I listened to it during my first breakup and I was like, yeah, kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten. You know, it's like just like pining after this past love or whatever. Come to find out, I think his name's Tim Mikelrath, is the lead singer. And he initially hated that song.
Yeah.
And I remember reading this and being like, oh, I get it, because it's like a little softer than some of their other stuff. But no, looking back on it, like most of their songs are about like, you know, fight rising against the state. And and this is a song that's just about a breakup or whatever. And then it went on to be literally their most popular song because it had the broadest appeal.
Happens, yeah.
And I think if you were to ask him today, it's probably the type of thing where it's like, well, considering what I value and what I believe, if this song gets more people to hear the rest of my music, probably a good thing, right? A similar band was Sum 41.
Yeah.
Do you know that they have like extremely political songs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it called Motivation is the one? Because I know like their big ones are Fat Lip and...
In Too Deep.
In Too Deep, yeah.
Yeah, from the first album.
Yeah.
Or... first, like, LP.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had an album called Chuck, which I think was their second release. It might have been Is This Infected? Maybe Chuck was their third album. Regardless, the history behind that, I did a Wikipedia deep dive the other day, and they were, like, they were in some country that was, like, you know, destabilized or something, and they were literally getting, like, shot at.
Nice.
And, like, having to take cover, like, an embassy or something. Mm-hmm. And just that whole experience, they, you know... it basically radicalized them in a way of like, oh, like America's the bad guy. And we're like out there like fucking shit up constantly. And we just don't hear about it.
Yeah.
And like all these places are fucked up, not because of any other reason other than the CIA going in and just doing, you know, what they do. And yeah, so I was like posting that they have like a track on that album. It's like, we're all to blame.
Yeah.
It's like, just like, it's our fucking fault, dude. We didn't vote hard enough.
What, this time or in general?
Just every time, man.
Yeah.
I've just been trying to, you know, figure out how I can make a difference next time. And I feel like I just need to, maybe I need to go to more campaign rallies or something. I don't know.
I'm team, we're running out of water in like 4 years and we're going to have wars over water.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
who cares?
Team Nestle versus Team Aquafina or whatever.
Sure. Mm-hmm. See, we got to talk about music, and you fucking were gonna shit on
it. You know how I know you're autistic?
How's that?
You have to defend your fucking bullshit. Your prompts. Yeah. It's fine.
You fucking said, I don't want to do any work at all, because I'm the talent.
Yeah.
Which, not true.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I'm such an asshole. I'm such a fucking prick.
So if I'm just... if we don't want to, like, sit in empty space.
I do want to sit in empty space. Oh, I feel like that's how we achieve...
Well, if we do that, then the whole hour should be me doing, like, the random shit to music.
Yeah. It could be.
Could be. And that's what Chaotic Pussy is.
If that's your creative outlet. What kind of music were you listening to if we're talking about music, what were you listening to in, like... I don't know, when were you a teenager?
When I was
Obama years? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, late Obama was my teenage years. Okay,
well, were you a music guy? Because I was not a music guy until I had my first breakup, because that was when I had my first, like, emotional experience.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Prior to that, the only thing I could relate to was, like, not winning my loot roll in World of Warcraft on raid night. That was the most traumatizing thing in my life up until 19 years old. So I didn't really connect with music emotionally.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, specifically what, like, first artist or band or song you got into that, like...
I think outside of, like, directly my mom and dad's reach, it was a lot of either Ween or, like, 90s rap in general, or, like, Yeezus when that album came out.
Yeezus.
Yeah. The 2013 Kanye.
Was that post My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the album right after that.
You got into late Kanye.
Kind of, yeah. It was like, because for me, because I missed the old Kanye, was 2016. I got in right before that, where he lost his mind.
That's good.
But those first seven albums are like, I don't know, the best Salvin album run I think any artist has had.
Yeah, I was on the internet when you know, College Dropout and Late Registration and all that stuff was coming out. And
yeah,
the white boys were going crazy for that shit.
Oh yeah, that was that big. Shit was huge. Of all of like the smartest nerds at my high school, we were all listening to Kanye.
Yeah. And then I think I was 21 or 22 when My Beautiful came out, and I was like, oh man, I was actually. I can't listen to that album without being reminded of the house party that we had where my folks were out of town and my brother would often have like a couple of people over just to, you know, fuck around and take pills or whatever and be stupid.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be what this night was. I had just recently been prescribed an SSRI and I had known that if I drink right after taking it, the alcohol is much more effective. So I did the thing of I'm going to take this pill and then I'm going to do a shot and then we're going to see where the night goes. And I don't remember anything after about 10 minutes. So we only had one friend over at the time. He brought the vodka.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, let's do it. So I took my pill. I took a shot of vodka. Next thing I know, I woke up in my bed the next morning. And it was one of the only times in my life where I had the thing where I woke up. And I didn't feel sick necessarily, but I just could not. I just had nothing. It was just complete blackout. And I just remember being like, oh, fuck. Like, what happened? To come to find out, we had like 40 people over. some guys like spilled beer on like the TV in the family room. And my brother, like a few of my friends and my brother had to literally like force these guys out because they were just being too rowdy or whatever. This is like my parents' home, right? It's not like a party house. And I was smoking weed with people throughout the night at one point, and then I guess I was told the story the next day. We were putting music on, and I think that Kanye album had just come out, and I remember having a conversation with a buddy about how it was literally probably one of the few black guys at the party, actually.
Yeah.
About how this was literally the best album of all time.
And sure,
Don't remember a single bit of this conversation, but I was just like, you know, raving about it or whatever. Yeah. So that's kind of like that was kind of like where my journey with Kanye ended. Cause then after that, I didn't fuck with, whatever that orange album was.
Yeah. That's the album. I'm trying to think of the name.
Yeah. He had the one, he has the one that just has like bipolar in the title.
Yeah.
He's like, and I hate it. I love it. And I was like, yeah, I get that. And I listened to this album and I'm like, yeah, this sounds like the music a bipolar guy would make. Yeah. This fucking sucks, bro, but good for you, I guess. What an interesting, in the same way that like, Trump was like this reality TV / pop culture, you know, guy, just this New York guy. The fact that like these figures have like where they have gone in the last 10 years is fucking nuts.
Yeah. This is a whole thing about just how Americans idolize celebrities.
Yeah.
Was horrible. That's a horrible trait we have. And without Twitter, it was more manageable in the 50s doing that with like Sinatra and fucking, you know, Elizabeth Taylor and all that.
We had the people that were in control, the people that were in power, however you want to define that, at least they could, you know, the celebrities that were being pitched to us, it was a controlled message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eventually you would get like the tabloids and stuff, which was like clearly only the weirdest of the weird believed anything that was in, you know, those magazines you found at the grocery store. But now with like, yeah, with social media and stuff, that's what's allowed this shit to just kind of go off the rails.
Yeah. Whenever we decided to monetize like engagement, all downhill. Cause that just allowed, even if you're not a celebrity, then just if you're the worst person, you win and you just get all the money. Am I a great person? No, but
I'm a piece of shit. Apparently I'm the talent.
Yeah.
The real talent is Harry here.
Fuck you, Lloyd. You're fucking nothing in Dad's eyes.
Lloyd is nothing. Lloyd is the protector. Lloyd is the one who, if, Lloyd's going to save me if like a spider comes in here or something and tries to kill me.
Yeah.
Or some other vermin. Lloyd will be the one who will hunt it down. Harry's just going to stare at it. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for both of these boys. I've gotten very lucky with these cats, and everyone I've introduced them to is just like been kind of I mean, the fact that you can just pick them up, it doesn't matter who you are, just like smooch them and stuff, and they're not immediately going to bite you.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty great.
I'll save what I'm thankful for next week on the Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, shit. we're like planning this out. I guess your role as producer allows you to take a little bit more of like a, what I would call neurotic approach to podcasting. But truthfully, it is just planning things out. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who's just lived my life by my seat of my pants for like the last decade plus.
Not
making any plans more than like 3 days out. You know, when you're in your like depressive, retarded states, like 4 or 5 days out of each month, it gets harder to plan further than more of a plan further out more than like a couple of weeks at a time. You know what I mean?
I only plan 3 to 5 days out. Mm. That's my limit, because that's how I do. Like, I'm in college right now.
Yeah.
And I have an assignment due Sunday. That's supposed to have been like this thing I should have been working on for eight weeks, but I'm going to do it all on Sunday.
Do you think you'll do grad school?
I probably have to at some point just for like credential stuff. But otherwise, if I move to like West Virginia and just could be a sub for life, then I'm down with that.
What's the plan? Because when you started school,
this is where it's like, what's the plan? I don't know. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I can only plan a week ahead.
You're like, I'm just at this point, I'm in for $30,000. Are you in debt at all with this stuff? Or you've been okay? So that's the good part, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna graduate debt free or relatively debt free.
Yeah.
But like, even you at this point, you're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do with this thing. Go work for $40,000 somewhere. I don't know.
And just hopefully my partner makes 70K.
Riding. Yeah. Gotta find me one of them partners.
Yeah. Gotta find one of your daughter of doctor partners.
Yeah. Trying to find someone that's, you know, going to law school, or, you know, there's all these, there's like UC Davis. They got the med school over there. So.
Yeah.
That's why I'm on Bumble. That's why I paid the lifetime subscription for Bumble.
Yeah.
$300. But now I'm in for life on Bumble. They get me 5 super likes a week. I say
$300 and you 5 super likes a week.
Yeah,
that's fucking insane.
Well, it was like, because if you're paying per month, if you're you know, subscribing that way, it's like $30 or $40 a month. So like theoretically, Bumble has been around long enough now. Speaking of things that are trying to extract profit out of you, you know, like social media. Like, that's why a dating app exists, right? It's just to make money.
Sure.
So it's weird to think of it as like, oh, this is how I'm going to find the love of my life, when like the app itself does not want you to do that. It wants you to be miserable.
Yeah.
Which I think is important to keep in mind when interacting on them. But truthfully, I'm really grateful they have a lifetime subscription, because I was having to, every 6 months or a year, I had to sit there for a couple of days and be like, fuck, do I spend $200? Because they just do not work if you don't subscribe, at least as a man, because you're just not, the numbers don't work out, right?
Yeah.
You're not, you don't have dozens and dozens of likes waiting for you, or hundreds and hundreds of likes or whatever. So,
on Bumble, do you have like looking for both male and female, or just female?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Just women. I think I'm not opposed to dating men, but the issue is men in general. I guess I am a misandrist in a lot of ways. You know, I would say I'm definitely also just more physically attracted to women.
For sure. Who could not?
You're right. I mean, fuck, boobs, dude. But like, yeah, the type of guy I'm into, which would be more of like a definitely more masculine, like kind of gym bro type. If they are bi, they seemingly don't have like, at least the guys that I've talked to anyways, they're just, it's already hard enough finding someone that is like politically aligned with me. You know what I mean? And if I'm already, you know, having to fight the internal biases of, you know, homophobia or whatever, you know, that I've grown up with, like if I'm getting myself consciously to the place where I'm okay, you know, getting dicked down.
Yeah.
Like the smallest hiccup, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because I already had like my real whore phase in my late 20s, especially when I realized just being tall and being able to talk about depression got me laid.
Yes.
Like, I've already moved past that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think my first gay experience will probably come in a threesome.
That makes sense. Yeah, because then you, like, there's something called the field or something where, like, you're looking at, like, couples and just, like, either a guy or a girl, like, getting into it.
You're talking about the app?
Yeah.
Yeah, field, F-E-E-L-D. Yeah. And truthfully, there's a gal that I might be meeting up with this weekend that I matched off of there, but she asked me recently this week, she was like, well, what are you looking for on field? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I kind of answered her, like, you know, the same thing I'm looking for anywhere, just, like, fucking friends. Like, that maybe we could have sex with each other. The thing is, like, field, people are much more open about talking about sex. And I think that's mm-hmm. been my issue as I've gotten older. Because theoretically, you would have had numerous sexual experiences or sexual partners by the time you're 30 years old, right?
Yeah.
And theoretically, you would be okay talking about some of that stuff. Now, there's a bunch of reasons why people aren't comfortable talking about it, whether it's, you know, dealing with some sort of, you know, childhood, like, repression mm-hmm. Of sex or sexuality, some trauma, either, you know, with a former partner.
Abusive experience,
you know, et cetera, et cetera. I totally get that. But at some point, it's like, we're two adults sitting here talking about spending a significant amount of time with each other, and not just as friends who record a podcast, but as two people that are going to get naked
yeah.
and put each other's genitals in each other's mouths. Mm-hmm. We should be able to talk about that on some level before we get to that point.
Yeah.
And the number of women I've been out with who just cannot talk about sex, it's really like kind of, I mean, I think there is a desire to be able to talk about this stuff. But again, men have made it unsafe to talk about this stuff, especially in an open conversation. Because every dude, I mean, it's the hardest part about with me, even with, like, I'm talking about sex, the 13-year-old boy is still in there. I'm like, we're talking about boobs. You know, like, I'm still in there, like, giggling uncontrollably.
For me, it's not as much as the giggling. It's more so like, either I subconsciously am or trying to fight off, like, I'm going to have sex with this person, or, like, I'm in some way going to be involved with this person. And yeah. I just, like, can't talk about it with that thought crossing my mind of, like, am I coming off as someone who's wanting to have sex with this person
yeah.
or not?
Well, that might be an attractive trait if you can shape it and mold it in the yeah. right way, right?
Well, yeah, because in high school, a lot more of my friends that were close to me were girls mm-hmm. who I did not have sex with. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking ally.
That's my flex. There was a couple I did, but...
Girls tolerated my presence. Yeah.
And you know what? Less life experience that way.
Yeah. Did you have sex in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How many partners did you have before your current partner?
Two.
Oh, okay. That's a good number.
Yeah. So not much.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was 18 when I met the person I'm with now.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it was, you know, not nothing.
Well, you are still, I think for your generation, I think you're still fucking, I think you're still batting above average.
Oh, in terms of, yeah, like,
in terms of
partners or just in terms of, like.
Just in terms of fucking in general. I saw some chart the other day that's like, since 2016, like 50 to 60% of men ages 18 to 22 have had zero partners.
What?
Like, just people are not. I mean, this has been the case for the last decade, but I think especially it's like a combination of, like, dating apps and just, like, the culture in general. You know, men not providing emotionally in a way in relationships that women can, mm-hmm. and obviously, you know, our culture is much more accepting of women in gay relationships than men.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of stuff that goes in that we got to have some more out and about queer people on the show to be able to talk about this shit. Yeah. Cause we're so, I'm a theoretical queer.
Yeah.
And also I'm a 6 foot tall man with a beard and a deep voice. Like, my experience is much different in acting with,
Well, when I asked you a couple minutes ago about, like, you know, what you're looking for in a man, you said someone who is more masculine,
yeah.
gym type.
Yeah.
I was thinking you would be looking for the opposite, much like another friend we have, where when they are feeling more bisexual, mm-hmm. they want a lad who is softer and someone where they could be the dom.
So, no, because that, like, those traditionally, like, feminine traits.
Right.
That's what I date women for, where I'm playing the role, the masculine role.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm wanting to be I mean, I'm always wanting to be held, yes, especially by like a smaller woman cuddling you from behind, bro. That's mm-hmm. That's the peak.
Yeah.
I want to be Little Spoon. I'm always Big Spoon. Let me be Little Spoon.
6'3", I'm always
Big Spoon. No, I think it's truthfully what any dating or relationship is it's just a best friend that you also do cool sex stuff with.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's where a lot of the, they were talking about this on TrueAnon this week, the divide between polyamorous folks and swingers and how it's like a generational thing.
Yeah.
But it also kind of falls along like party lines. Like mm-hmm. swingers are definitely more in the conservative space
because
it's less of a identity. Mm-hmm. It's more of just like an activity that you do. And poly, it's like, that's who you are on the inside. Right.
Yeah. Cause also the swinger, which conservative thing is like way more like sneaky and like not as like open about like, yeah, I fuck around.
Those are
it's more of a scandal if you get found out.
Those are the people on Field who just post like 4 pictures of like their wife's like 45-year-old body from like the neck down, and it's like more, it's like protected for our privacy. And I'm like, fucking grow up. Like, yeah, what job do you have where like you can't be, you know, known that you're out fucking or whatever? Like, yeah, it's not that serious. The jet ski business will be just fine if they know that you're out fucking on the weekends. You'll be okay.
Good point about like that's where you'd be like in with a relationship with a woman anyway.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, that person I was talking about, when they are with a woman, they want to be dominated.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I would love that. I think my ideal relationship is a, because I do really enjoy the dom role, whether that's by nature or nurture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said this forever, but the idea of, I think I was born into this body. And I naturally attract a certain type of person.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are also women that I've spoken to who really enjoy a man of my size being submissive, right? It's like kind of that whole thing. So I think my ideal dynamic at this point would be like 80-20.
Sure.
You know, because sometimes I also don't want to think. Can I just turn my brain off?
I want to be a pillow prince.
You just tell me, I'm just a meat stick. Pillow prince. You just tell me what to do and where to go. Yeah. Well, the thing is now is, you know, all the pussy hat voters, they're not having sex with men anymore because apparently they fucked up the election or something. I don't know what I forget what the logic is there.
Yeah, it's just there's the sex boycott because men voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Which again,
so did 56% of white women.
Yeah.
Like, what are we fucking, dude? Liberals are not okay.
No, they're not.
How are the liberals in your life been this week that you've been speaking to?
Sad, inactive.
Yeah.
Just sad forms of inactive, and just like calling me nonstop about like, it used to be like back in 2016 when he won the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, how can I or we do better, change all that? Now it's like, are you okay if I want the world to end?
Yeah, they're just all fucking on suicide watch, dude.
It's just done.
I started back up the group chat. So I have group chat with, you know, my brother and our mom, and, you know, we have one with dad as well. You know, we have all the different dynamics as far as the group chats go. But I started the one back up with my mom this week because, you know, dad does not talk politics without being an anxious, like, it's just instant, like, off the rails anxiety, whatever. Yeah. So try not to give dad a heart attack. We're going to try and make, he's 66. So we'll let him get to at least 70 before we start trying to really shock him. But, I started the group chat back up with mom and my brother this last week. And it's been a lot of fun because mom, diehard liberal, although she did say when Roe v. Wade got reversed back, was that like 2018 or whatever? 2019?
I thought that was a couple months ago.
Oh, no, it was the Kavanaugh appointment.
Oh, yeah. That was 2018.
19. Yeah, there was that. And then it was, I think, when Roe, it was something with Roe. I don't know. I remember talking to her. I was going to a local for a guilty year. Yeah. And I remember talking to her in the parking lot beforehand and her saying to me, I don't know. I guess we just need a revolution. I was like, that's what I've been trying to tell you. That's what I've been trying to tell you. But at the same time, you know, then she blames my brother for voting for Trump. And that's why, you know, there's armed gangs invading his apartment building, trying to find a stolen cell phone or something. And so it's been really fun having that group chat going again, because my brother's an RFK guy.
Yeah.
Mom's the diehard, you know, vote blue no matter who liberal. Mm-hmm. And I'm the sick commie bitch over here, just kind of like lampooning both of them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got smoke. Like, I'll send like Democrat suck stuff. And then my brother just be like I sent him some, there's a gal, Carsey Blanton, I think is her name. She does like kind of folksy style music, but it's like her most recent album is called The Red Album.
Yeah.
So it's just all commie stuff. And she's got a track that's called like The Democrats Hate You or something. And so I sent that in the group chat. My brother, you know, is like running defense. He's like, don't worry, Mom. The second verse is about the Republicans. It's not all about you or something like that. And then I was just like, yeah, I got smoke for everybody. Come at me. But yeah, other than that, like I have a few. It's actually been nice because now the liberals are posting about politics again, mm-hmm. which I find really in my life, you know, are posting about politics again, which is interesting because it allows me to see different sides, you know, the Trump cabinet appointments, of course, have getting everybody.
That's every other tweet on my timeline.
Real fucking worked up. But it's like, you know, it's literally just like the pedophile Avengers or whatever. Like it's like the scummiest mother. But if anybody was paying attention in 2016, none of these people are going to be around in a year, mm-hmm. right? Like that. It was just a constantly rotating door last time around of Trump's cabinet picks.
I like where, again, it's so fucking not funny to point out like hypocrisies of like Republican voters, but just like a lot of their whole things against gay people is just like, they're going to touch my kids.
Yeah.
When they are just the touching kid party.
Yeah.
Pedal faster! I can't go any faster!
Where you going, kids? Hey, I just want to talk to you. Why don't you come over to my place for a glass of wine and a couple of fruit pies, and then we can go in the back room and play Crazy Snakes.
I don't know how many headlines I've seen of like reverends rapes their own 12-year-old.
Yeah. The Matt Gaetz thing, I think, is probably one of the biggest ones where I'm just like, it's just literally everybody that has a open criminal case against them to some extent. It's pretty rad. But that's not to say that like, and I'm not well versed enough in, you know, wonky style, like, you know, what's going on in DC politics, but it's not like everyone that's been that was appointed to a Democrat cabinet was like, you know, innocent themselves.
Yeah, not on the Epstein file or not like also in Pizzagate.
Right. Or just like making untold amounts of money from the military industrial complex with, you know, their wives' stocks. And then they're elected to the chair of the Department of Defense or whatever. It's just like, dude, it's all fucking bullshit all the way down.
General weird behavior.
Then curving off of calling
Vance and people weird.
Yeah, them weird was probably the downfall. They should have just stuck with that all the way down for sure.
There's like 18 things though where you'd be like, that's the downfall. There's just so many things they got wrong.
What to do? I wonder if when the books will start coming out. Do you think Kamala puts out a book?
It's been cycling at 25 minutes forever. I don't know what the...
No. I don't know. You're the one that clicked the button, so.
Yeah, I did click the left hand up. I did click the button.
As the producer, that's on you.
I think we're fine though.
Can you imagine a sick ass scenario though, where we actually have like a producer and like we have like imagine for instance we make any money off of this ever?
Yeah, that'd be great.
and we have like a producer who's like in our ears or is like doing all this in the background.
Yeah,
that would be so sick.
Yeah, Harry. We know Lloyd can't do it, so get on it.
Harry, this is definitely... Harry's the one that needs to be touching at all times.
Yes.
Yes. And he does, like, the claw... Is he doing the
claw? Yeah, he's doing the claw thing on my back, yeah.
Yeah, just to be like, hi.
Yeah, just like, touch me more?
Hi. It's, like, enough to annoy you, mm-hmm. but not enough to actually hurt you.
No,
He's a fucking menace with that shit, dude. He does that when I'm sitting at the computer, and he just comes up and just on my leg, like, ah!
It's perfectly like a kid.
He is so smart.
Yeah.
Like, he has the perfect claw control. Whereas Lloyd, he'll just either yell at me or just leave me alone for the most part. He'll go fuck up some paper towels or something.
Yeah.
What's our ad read this week?
Well, I got mailbag.
Oh, yeah. Let's do mailbag.
Yeah. Winning time, Reddit AMA.
Should we do mailbag all the way? I mean, we can do mailbag now. How long do you think we can do mailbag for?
Well.
Because I do need to talk about Twilight.
You know what? Let's talk about Twilight first. We'll save mailbag for the end.
Okay. So have you ever seen the Twilight movies? Or have you ever read the books?
I know Robert Pattinson is in it.
Yeah.
And I know I had a couple group of girls in my like middle school that like loved them.
Mm-hmm.
I have never engaged in reading or watching myself.
Okay.
The only closest thing was this parody movie called Vampires Suck.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this parody movie called 50 Shades of Grey.
No. Well, I mean, that also, but no, there's a movie called Vampire Sub, which is this horrible movie that was just like making fun of Twilight the whole time.
Probably a Blumhouse production or whatever the equivalent was back in the day.
Yeah.
So Twilight, I've been watching Twilight this week.
Yeah.
And it's my first time. And I can't stop thinking about it for a lot of reasons. It's I think the first one came out in 2008.
Yeah.
Prior to this week's viewing, my only connection to it was the woman who had a threesome with my ex, who I was dating at the time, and I was not the third guy. Although later on, I was the third guy.
Oh, okay.
She was really into Twilight.
Yeah.
And so we ended up dating and hooking up for a bit, and that's when I started to like learn some things about Twilight.
Team Edward, Team Jacob?
After two films, Team Jacob.
Okay.
I know some plot points that happen down the line that will, I think we have to operate under the assumption that everybody is a bad person.
Yeah.
And if we're taking emotional manipulation from the colons versus the altruistic, I just want to protect you, but also if I can't have you, I'm going to have your daughter type vibes of Team Jacob. Like,
I was going to ask, have you gotten to the period stuff yet, or is that a spoiler?
No. Okay, I have not.
Okay, well, sorry for spoiling
that. No, you're fine. I know some spoilers.
Okay.
So I've only seen the first two films.
Okay.
I was put onto it by our buddy Eric, who him and his partner are lifelong Twilight fans. Unironic, too. They have, they will write entire paragraphs at me about the fan fiction, or more so the lore behind the story. I have not read the books, and I thought maybe that's why I was having a tough time interpreting the events of the film, but come to find out, no, the books are just really bad, and the plot is just really bad. The character of Edward, like I see the appeal. He's the mysterious kid at school. He doesn't talk to anybody. You know, he's kind of, his whole family's a bunch of weirdos. Like, I get all of the appeal. What I find kind of repulsive is just how popular Bella is immediately upon moving to Forks, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is literally the most popular girl on the planet. Like, every clique thinks she's awesome. She doesn't have any single op in this entire fucking school. Everyone's just, hi, Bella. Not only that, but literally every boy she interacts with wants to fuck her.
Yeah.
Like, she is just, like, the queen of Forks High School. And so, like, you know, from a storytelling perspective, it's awful. The audio mixing is really weird on the movies, where like, I don't know if it's possible to even hear character dialogue unless you have like a legitimate like audio setup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this might've been the first time.
Well, I'm sure they were thinking a lot about that for the demographic they're making for. Got to spend money on the audio budget.
Yeah, exactly. So like, yeah, it's like necessary to watch these with subtitles on. Cause I watched the first time one with subtitles at Eric's house. And I kind of was able to follow what was going on. Second time around, no subtitles, and for watching New Moon, and I just could not figure out what the hell was happening.
Your scent, it's like a drug to me. You're like my own personal brand of heroin.
Characters would be, at the school or in the woods. And then all of a sudden, at one point, they were at the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And I was informed that there was I was asking Eric, I was like, did I miss a cutscene? I'm a fucking nerd. Transition with, was there a montage with them getting on a plane? Or did Bella just jump on Edward's back and he leapfrogged across the ocean? Come to find out, there was a short video of them driving out of Forks on a highway. So they didn't spend any money to like film, you know, an airplane or even at an airport. They just did it in the same place they were filming the rest of the movie. And then all of a sudden they're in Europe.
that big bridge that connects the giant Forks High bridge. School and
like,
Vatican.
It's just complete nonsense. The second movie had the redeeming quality of having the wolves, which as far as CGI goes for the time was pretty good.
Okay.
Most of the CGI in the film is dog water.
Yeah.
The way they portray vampires' powers and speed is literally just like vibes. Like if you don't know what a character's vampire power is, because they all have like different things of like mind control or whatever else.
Little X-Men team, those vampires. They'll just have
like a shot of like a character's eyeballs or something. And then it's like, oh, you're supposed to know what's going on. It's utterly nonsense. But I'm having a great time with it.
The only other thing I really know about Twilight is that Jacob is Taylor Lautner.
Mm-hmm.
If you could imagine when I was a skinnier man,
dude,
with shorter hair.
Yeah, you could do a Jacob Halloween easily. You just have to take your shirt off.
I had a bunch of people in high school call me Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
Again, not anymore, but back in the day.
All you would have to do is be willing to take your shirt off and they have a tattoo. Mm-hmm. I'll have to have Eric explain the true lore to me, but when they mature as wolves and they start to transform, I believe their clan gives them this tattoo or it just shows up, but it's like the symbol that shows up on their arm.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, cause I don't have any tattoos. You're a tattooless man yourself, right?
I am a tattooless guy.
We should get you want to get chaotic pussy tattoos?
Mm. Maybe
Let's get your girl
the CP with like the.
Let's get CP tattooed on our bodies. We absolutely should. I think that would be sick. But yeah, I was thinking maybe my first tattoo, if it's not CP, it would be this wolf clan symbol that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I want to join the Horcrux type gang of like getting my. The books that spoke to me when I was 15 years old, let me put that on my body for the rest of my life and make it part of my identity.
Every time I've had a tattoo idea, Rebecca has just made it a shirt or my desktop screen.
Ooh, that's the tough part. The dating a graphic designer, they're able to get that stuff out.
I know. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you've seen my laptop screen, but it's Waluigi with long hair, shades on, throwing dice. That was my first tattoo idea that I wanted.
We got to find an artist to do some good like CP tattoos for us.
I know the name of, I literally know everything but the name of one that, like, my brother and my mom go to all the time in Sacramento. Who's really good at everything. I think their name's Jesse.
Okay. I follow probably a half dozen local artists just from when my friends get work done from them or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, at some point, da 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 da, but it's just never happened. Anytime I have $300, I was spending it on like
magic cards.
Well, now it's been magic cards.
Bumble.
Do I get a minute to talk about magic?
Yeah, go the magic.
magic minute with Mr. Dream. Foundations came out this week. Foundations fucking owns. It's basically a core set. What they have traditionally done is a core set, which is kind of like setting the baseline power for the next couple of years. This one's going to go till 2029 and like their standard gameplay format, which is really cool. So you feel like, I'm buying these cards. They're going to stick around for a while. The general power level of the cards is also much higher. So you feel like if you are buying a lot of cards, they have this thing called the starter collection. You're like, oh shit, like I can build like a real deck. It's not just, baby's first magic cards. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really rad, and like I'm just having a really good time with it. I went to pre-release down at a Big Brother this last weekend here in Midtown, and like it's wild seeing the different personalities that play Magic, but like because it's a social game, everyone kind of, and you're playing it in person, it's not online.
Yeah.
So when you get owned, you can't scream faggot at them or whatever, You certainly can at the kitchen table, of course, which Eric and I did a little bit over the weekend, too, which was very fun. In fact, turn one with Eric, he's like taking like, three or four, he's taking way too long to play. And I'm just like, hurry it the fuck up. Like, I'm just like,
yeah, that's been now fantasy football. But as kids, that was not Yu-Gi-Oh!, but playing like heads up poker between me and my brother where the slurs got out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun playing card games at the table for sure. So I don't know. I've had a really great time so far playing in like a semi-competitive way with other adults. I've had a good time playing at the kitchen table with other adults. However, now that I've had a taste of that, I can't fucking stand playing the sixth graders anymore. Because they did.
So that's why you're doing it less.
Yeah, like they are okay. Just, they, because they all think they know what they're doing, but they don't. Uh-huh. And so I'm constantly having to correct them.
Is that why you didn't want to play me either?
No, I would love, I would love to teach other adults for sure. Because it's more interesting that way. But like, yeah. And like yesterday there was a kid that fucking threw a tantrum because the thing is like now these guys are buying their own decks. They're going out and getting cards. And so they're a lot more powerful than the stuff we have at school. Mm-hmm. And so then they sit down to play the kids at school and then they're being their normal 12-year-old shitty selves being like, ha ha, delete it. You know, it's like, dude, your deck is like, you know, so much more powerful than theirs. Like it doesn't even compare. You know what I mean? Like tier wise, it's not in the same realm. And like, they don't understand any of that.
So now you get when I'm mad at them for thinking they're good at Ultimate.
Yes. No, I mean, totally. Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah, absolutely. We're like, you can't really even enjoy playing it. Even if you could beat them in it, it's not enjoyable just because of the way they talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Just them interacting with each other. Yeah. And I'm like, no, you're all horrible at this. None of you are good.
When are you getting a vasectomy? Because you clearly do not want children. That's the thing to do. Like, nobody's going to be able to get birth control in another decade or whatever in this country. So it's up to us. When are you getting snipped?
I think 2036 will be known as the decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old are you going to be in 2036?
36.
Okay. That's the...
Yeah.
It lines up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I waited till I was 30. I was like, I didn't ever want to have kids. Like, I never had that desire, but eventually it was like quarantine time. I was like, oh, I gotta get this shit done.
Just because, like, I don't want, just seeing as a product of young parents, and even though they got divorced and, like, whatever, just still, like, the fact that it blows people's minds that I'm, like, at age where I've graduated college or should have graduated college at least with a 4-year degree, and my dad's under 50.
Yeah.
Destroys people.
Yeah.
They can't comprehend that my dad is that young.
Yeah.
And just if I have a kid when I'm 36, I don't want to play baseball when I'm 48 with them.
Yeah. Well, your dad's got old guy vibes. And not in a bad way.
Yeah, he just reads.
Yeah.
The youngest thing about him is that about 10 years ago...
Because he's like an elder Gen Xer, right? He's not a boomer.
No, he's not a boomer. He's Gen X.
Yeah, yeah.
He recently, post-COVID, got into watching people on Twitch.
Okay.
Because when I was a kid and I'd watch people on YouTube play video games, he was of like, why are you watching people play the game instead of you yourself playing the game?
Right, the classic.
But now, because his podcasters have a Twitch channel, he gets it now. Mm. Where, like, you're enjoying the personality and all that.
That makes sense. Yeah, like, actually, and I've made that transition too, where, like, I can listen to some audio podcasts, but if it's for pure entertainment purposes, where it's just, like, the parasocial shit, it's so much better just watching it.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just listening to guys tell fart jokes to each other.
Yeah. That's the thing with, you know, Rebecca is she primarily is a watcher.
Yeah.
And not, but if there are, like, puzzle games or whatever, like, those type of single-player stuff that she doesn't want to, like, either get spoiled or, like, would likes the game aesthetically enough to go play it herself, then she'll go buy it and, like, not watch anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, it would be, like, the thing that I'm hyper-fixated on that would be, like, insane if, like, you know, my partner was into was like wrestling or that, or like specific like YouTubers I watched growing up would be like between, the Kami and the Tatted Shorty is if one of them was interested in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an easy thing to get people into.
Sure.
The thing. I've been talking to girls about it truthfully and been like, and they've been like, oh, I've always been curious. I'm like, well, I'll bring them on our date. I'll bring some decks on our date. Cause it is a fun social thing. It's like I said, it's like a kitchen table. I think the most fun way to play Magic, and I've literally only done this one time so far, is playing at the kitchen table with your friends.
Yeah.
Because you can run, you know, less than optimal decks. It's like playing casual anything, you know, it's just more fun because you're able to goof around and do silly stuff. It's also certainly fun to try and play it at the highest level and min max, of course, but that's a completely different wavelength. And I think, we'd all be better off if we try and, like, not take our hobbies so fucking seriously all the time.
I imagine it's younger, but at the pro level that you've been to at your locals,
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're all like 21 to 27 and not 40.
That's what's the best about it is there are guys like the first guy. So you play three games typically during these pre-releases. Mm-hmm. My first match was against like a 50 something year old guy, maybe late 40s, who was literally taking care of his dad who was in hospice. Like these are the kind of things you talk about, right?
Yeah,
you're just sitting there BSing about the game or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was much more neurotic and a little bit more like matter of fact about things, but that was fine. He was very understanding of me and my slow play. Second guy was like some dude that worked for like a nonprofit doing housing or something, like just some based motherfucker who was real chill. We literally did rock, paper, scissors to decide who goes first. Talked about his partner that he'd been with for 10 years. I could just do a whole podcast playing Magic the Gathering with people, you know what
I mean?
And like interviewing them, which as Eric has talked about, he's like, eventually that's what our podcast will be.
A side project with you and Eric.
It'll be Eric and I playing Magic in the background while you're reading from note cards or whatever. And then the last guy I played is a guy who works at the store and he fucking owns. He's like, so his brain is clearly going a million miles a minute, not only because he's probably neurodivergent, but 19 years old.
Yeah.
And he is someone who plays competitively where he has already bought his decks for the new set. He wasn't really interested in the cards or he wasn't trying to get any cards or whatever because he already knew what he was getting.
Yeah.
Because he goes to like the locals that then lead into the regionals that then lead into the nationals. He goes and gets his playmat signed by Reed Duke and all these other, you know, pro Magic players. It was funny because I asked him, I was like, how long have you been playing? He said, since third grade. And this is a guy with like, you know, some acne and stuff. And I was like, how long ago was that? 10 years. But he was fucking awesome. And he was so, we sat there and after we finished our game, we just sat there and bullshitted for like 30 minutes about Magic and stuff. So yeah, it's a wide range of guys, but I would say definitely the younger guys tend to be the more competitive, at least because they have the time to dedicate to actually playing the game competitively.
Yeah.
Whereas there are old heads that used to be more serious about it that are but do it more as a casual thing
because
now.
Life has done
because they got
things.
Lives. You know, dad's dying. I gotta wipe my dad's ass twice a day. I don't have time to be going to tournaments or whatever. So. No, it's an awesome experience. And I'm really glad that I, had the means to get into it because it does cost a little bit to get it started, but it's been a lot of fun. So yeah, maybe I built some decks this weekend and, get me a Magic shorty.
But yeah.
We'll see. Are we ready for emails?
Sure.
I'm going to try a lighting thing real quick. Maybe it fucks the whole thing up. I was just noticing that our faces are really dark.
Yeah. Cause the sun moved.
Yeah.
Which has been awesome for me.
Yeah, that doesn't work at all.
Sit slightly further back like this. If the mic still picks up. Okay. Hit him with the lean. Oh, going all full Stephen relaxer. So, Winning Time Tapes, AMA. First one, Betty Symington. Hey guys, do celebrity kids have it rough? I was a nanny in LA, and they seem detached from their parents.
Where are you pulling these questions from?
Reddit.
What part of Reddit did you get these from?
I don't know. They responded to the AMA.
Oh, like you actually posted on Reddit?
Yeah.
What was the prompt?
It was just hey, doing a new podcast, ask me your dumbest questions.
Okay. I just needed the setup. All right. Now, from user
Betty Symington.
This is AI. What did Betty ask?
Do celebrity kids have it rough? And she says because she was a nanny in L.A. that, like, fucking, they seem to have kids that are detached from their parents.
Since you're asking, do I get to answer first?
Yeah, oh, yeah, go for it. Please do.
Yeah. Materially, of course not. But they are completely fucked, like, mentally.
Let's look at Barron Trump, for example.
Yeah. I mean, that was more just, like, probably absentee father more than anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, not having a chance to interact with the world in any real sense, because especially if people know who your dad is, like right off the jump, like you're constantly fighting an uphill battle. You know, it's one thing when your parents are some like oil oligarch that nobody fucking knows, and you know, you can kind of move that way. But if everyone knows who your dad is, you're fucking getting bullied every day about that. Yeah. Whatever your dad did in the news this week, you know,
we had a girl at the school that we worked at a couple years ago who was the daughter of the governor candidate who lost in California. And I don't know if she got a lot of shit for it, but there was definitely like a sect of girls that were like, we don't really hang out outside of school and we're not going to.
Because her dad's a politician or was trying to be a politician.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm down to rapid fire these. If you unless you have
to.
More.
If you want to. I mean, sure. Yeah, unless you had something to add there.
How do you guys feel about snakes?
Is this the same user?
At ChadGPT.
ChadGPT? That's a good username.
That's a good username.
How do I feel about snakes?
Yeah.
Snakes are fucking cool. I would like to have more... In an ideal situation where I could have more than one room in my home. Yeah. It would be cool to have like a little terrarium or like a couple like, you know, reptiles or critters or something like that. Cleaning out those cages sucks, but like being able to provide, at least with like my cats, like being able to provide a safe space for them to grow and flourish has provided a lot of mental benefit for me, knowing that they would just be some fucked up street cats or whatever. So in the same way, if it was like a, I don't know if they do like rescue snakes. I assume they do.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to go buy a snake just to have a fucking snake. But I think snakes are fucking cool. And they, from what I've seen, you know, they can bond with their owners in a way, you know, especially the more like slithery types, the more slithery type snakes, you know, the ones that you pull out, you throw over your shoulders and you kind of vibe with or whatever.
There's part of me that like people fall into either like anime or snake guy, and I thought I was gonna go snake guy, but I ended up being anime guy.
What age were you where you had to make that decision?
I think 14.
Okay,
yeah. I'm like
which way Western Mr. Man?
Yeah, snake guy or anime guy? I'm an anime guy. I occasionally grow like over the summer would have a snake because my stepmom was a science teacher with a snake. So over the summer I'd get to see the snake. Be a little ball python and real chill. Although actually that snake just got like student napped from her classroom. Currently that snake is missing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if, and it's for sure someone took it home, that it's not, it didn't just escape.
It didn't just escape because it probably would have before by now, given how everything's set up. And it happened just like during a school day because during the school it was there. And by the time she clocked out, not there.
Mm.
So it was like during, like when she and the kids were having lunch, I guess.
The snake caper.
Yeah.
What's next?
Next. At unavailable username. What movie quote do you get asked about the most?
Do I get asked about?
Yeah.
As if, as in like I'm like saying it in my day-to-day life and people are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Maybe that's what they're going for.
The thing that I repeat often because it drives me up a fucking wall is when kids ask me what time it is. And so I just always respond, it's time to get ill.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Do you know that reference? I think it's Beastie Boys, right?
Yeah.
So like, they don't know. These are like 10-year-olds asking me. They don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So sometimes I'm reflecting on that later in the day. I'm like, are these kids going to like, does that stick out to them? Because it's such a weird thing for an adult to say to you.
Yeah.
Like, does that stick out to any of these kids where like, they're going to hear that song at some point down the road and it's going to hit them like an LSD flashback. Like they're all of a sudden going to be in fourth grade again. Like, that's what Mr. Steven was talking about.
They don't even have ill in their fucking dictionary.
Yeah, bro, that's ill, bro.
Yeah.
That's probably the one thing I say the most often where I have to like explain myself.
For me, it's probably just any given Simpsons quote. Just like, I'll use it. That's the most maybe if we... If you want me to admit autistic things about me, it's probably Simpsons.
Yeah.
Where just like, I have like the first 8 seasons just in my brain.
There have been numerous times, I think it was either this morning or yesterday or something, where I say something and then you just go, burr, 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 burr. And I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? And you're like, it's from The Simpsons. You're like describing the scenario. Yeah, I mean, referential humor is, that's what sucks about growing up today is it's all just like TikTok videos and shit. But like... It really was enjoyable growing up and having, you know, the same Saturday morning cartoons to watch as all your friends.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just everything available on streaming because you did have that cohesion, you know, when it came to playground bits and banter or whatever. Although I do remember because I grew up fairly conservative. I didn't have access to all the cool kid stuff.
Mm.
So like I remember Beavis and Butthead. We were in like fifth and sixth grade. A couple of guys, we were doing like a Beavis and Butthead bit.
Hell yeah.
And I didn't know who Beavis and Butthead were, but I just had to go along with it because I didn't want to be a loser.
Could you at least like do like a soft like Butthead impression to keep up? Or?
I think it was Beavis, Butthead, and then we came up with a third character, Twinkle Toes.
Okay. We're Twinkle Toes?
No, because I'm always the main character, right? I'm gotcha. The talent. So I was definitely yes. either Beavis or Butthead.
Uh-huh.
And then... My boy Micah was Twinkle Toes. Now okay. that I think about it, he was the only non-white kid in the friend group, so that was kind of fucked up.
Yeah, you had to get a token from South Park.
Yeah, he was token. We had to make up a character for him. We're like, well, clearly you can't be Beavis or Butthead. Those are both white guys.
Yeah.
how many more? You got any more questions?
I do. at Jesper77.
Yeah.
Do you think Rick Deckard was a replicant? Familiar with Blade Runner?
Yeah. Is that Harrison Ford's character?
Yes.
Yeah. The classic, like, is he... I think it doesn't matter. I think, isn't the Ridley Scott, doesn't he have, like, a bad take on it or something?
Yeah, just, like, he made it, it's like, well, it's up for you to decide.
Yeah.
Is it something like that? Or just, it doesn't... It's either you decide, or it doesn't matter. It was Ridley's, I think, statement. Oh, okay.
I thought at some point, like, in, like, a direct... Like, on a director's cut commentary or something, he said, like, definitively this.
Oh, did he? Okay. I don't know. I haven't seen a director's cut of Blade Runner.
God, I love being an idiot. I think specifically... Or maybe the author of... I Dream of Electric Sheep. Maybe he had the take of like, this is what this character is. I don't know how one-to-one those are matched. You know that book, right? That
that's
what it's based off of.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've only watched that movie once and I found it boring as fuck, so. I was expecting cool sci-fi movie and I was like, oh, this is like an introspective thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like 2.5 hours long and I was like, fuck. I had the same experience watching Kubrick's, what's the one with the guys with the eyeballs?
Oh, Clockwork Orange?
Clockwork Orange. I watched fucking Clockwork
Orange. I don't like Clockwork Orange.
I was like 19 years old and everyone's like, oh, you gotta watch Clockwork Orange. And so I watched Clockwork Orange and I'm like, these guys are assholes. And like, I don't get this at all. Like,
because
I didn't have any context for any of it.
Yeah, all the people who recommended it, just like, those are your rapist friends.
Yeah. I was like, this is really weird. Because you, without a political background or like knowledge base, right? Like, all of that stuff just weeds as fucking, bro, it's crazy, bro. Yeah. Society, bro. And it's just, fuck. So yeah, Blade Runner was a similar thing where I was just kind of like expecting, because you know, I was really into The Matrix.
Yeah.
And Equilibrium, you ever see Equilibrium?
No, I haven't seen
Fuck, bro, you gotta watch Equilibrium. Bro, you gotta watch Equilibrium. Christian Bale, dude?
Oh.
Gargotta, bro?
I did a Christian Bale double feature recently of American Psycho and Machinist.
That's a good double feature.
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Machinist.
Machinist is good.
Yeah. That's the one he lost all the weight for?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like 120.
I also need to watch 2049. We should get together and watch movies.
Yeah.
I feel like our retard brains line up on film.
Are you doing the Monday of Thanksgiving break?
I thought we were watching wrestling.
That's Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tuesday. Yeah, okay. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah. We should watch more movies, though. You just always have tried to take me to like 3-hour Scorsese shits.
What
I do not want to sit in a theater for 3 hours.
When was this?
There was the Flowers, Killers of the Flowers.
Oh, I've told you that I've watched it. I didn't say you should watch it.
No. You invited me to. And then there was another one you bought tickets for. And I was like, yeah, bro, I ain't making it.
It was, what was it? Was there one that came out that year?
It was another like 3-hour movie. And I was like,
no. Oh, it was fucking, not Napoleon, Oppenheimer.
Was it Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
I didn't want to go see Oppenheimer.
I guess so.
Maybe I was depressed. I might have been just
Yeah, you might have been. Yeah. I'm going to skip that question.
Yeah, because I got to see 2049 as well. I haven't seen Blade Runner 2049.
At MO3K or Melk, Mr. Ford. Do you go by Mr. Ford?
No.
Were you able to meet E.O. Wilson personally? What the fuck is this?
Did you write this down?
Yeah.
Were you writing this down not even thinking about what it was? You were just like, I gotta...
These were at 4 a.m.
Yeah, this is note-taking, just bleary-eyed, yeah.
At the Polish Sniper 4444, any injuries while filming Indiana Jones? we got things about snakes, Rick...
I'm telling you, these were AI. I think all of those were AI.
Maybe I pulled these...
Okay. Did you pull the Indiana Jones?
I pulled the Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it was like the Harrison Ford fan club.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, because it was Blade Runner, and it was like, so this was, were you on a Harrison Ford summer?
I might have been on a Harrison Ford AMA on Reddit.
Was this the bit the whole time, or are you just realizing this now? Did you not know that you were
I have one that's out of, like, line. Like, what, like, at real underscore Barry Bonds, did you know I have a Kanye song, Suck My Dick, Otani?
Okay, yeah.
So that doesn't fit in. That's something Harrison Ford there.
It's incredible. I mean, honestly, we should be going on Reddit more often for this kind of stuff, because that's our fan base, 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like, that's who's on Reddit now, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, sorry for mail, but we'll do a better one.
No,
next
that
week.
Owned. We should do like if yeah. Fuck, that was good. That was entertaining as fuck.
All right. Oh, if you enjoyed the intro song, that was by my boy Sambro.
Oh, that's right. We got an intro.
Yeah, and if you like that song, he has a whole album called Joy.
Is it on? What's it on?
Spotify.
It's on Spotify.
Sambro. It's as it sounds.
Sambro.
Yep.
Nice. Any dates coming up?
You do.
Possibly.
Possibly.
As always.
Tentatively dates.
Yeah. The thing is like, you get into, like, the political spaces that I do, and it's, like, it's all neurodivergent weirdos, so who knows what could flare up in the next 48 hours, but hopefully we might be doing a double date this weekend, in the sense that I got something Saturday, I got something Sunday. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know? Then it's hitting all of the spectrum for me, as far as, like, commie weirdos to tatted up shorties. You know what I mean? Like, that's the dynamic. If I can find a combination of that, I'm getting married.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to Winning Time Tapes and or Chaotic Pussy.
That's what's up.
Till next time. You don't have to look at me.